Hello, this is Irene Bullard, recording the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. Let's begin on the front page. Three dead, one injured in Riley Drive shooting. Four-year-old boy in critical condition. Three men are dead and a four-year-old boy is critically wounded after a shooting at a Riley Drive apartment building in Bloomington. The city's second fatal shooting with multiple victims this month. Police were called at 2:43 p.m. Monday to 311 Riley Drive on the city's east side for a report of a person shot, said Bloomington Police Department spokesman Elias Mendiola. Officers arrived to a very chaotic scene, he said. Once entry was gained to the apartment complex, we confirmed that three individuals are deceased and a fourth individual has been transported to an area hospital. McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis pronounced one man dead at 4:08 p.m. and two at 4:16 p.m., all at the scene, Mendiola said. Their names were withheld pending notification of relatives. Autopsies are scheduled for today. The boy, found with a gunshot wound, was taken to an area hospital before being flown to a Peoria hospital in critical condition, he said. There were no arrests as of Monday night, and the motive remained unknown, Mendiola said. Dozens of Bloomington police cars raced to the complex and closed the street. At times, officers stood in the street armed with rifles, and some officers and detectives at the scene were wearing bulletproof vests. Officials from the county's Emergency Management Agency also were on hand. The three-story brick building, part of Fairway Apartments, was cordoned off with police crime scene tape, and residents of the apartment complex were not allowed into their buildings for several hours. "We don't know what's going on," said one of the building's residents, who asked not to be identified. "We just found out through the media that three people were gone, but they won't tell us anything." Neighbors from around the area gathered outside the scene and expressed frustration with the lack of information. "This is my neighborhood," said Shandana Robertson, who said that she lived in one of the neighboring apartment complexes. "I'm scared. I'm scared to go inside. I'm scared to be outside. I just want to get away from here. But before I do, I'd like to know a little bit about what happened." Her friend, Denise Cameroon, also admitted a frustration with the unknown. "I've talked to some officers here, and they claim they don't know what's going on and don't know anything and can't let me talk to anyone who does," she said. "How are we supposed to go back into our homes with all of this going on?" Another neighbor, Gary Shelton, who lives near the corner of Riley and Metro Drives, said that he was outside working when the incident started. "I thought I heard something, but in this neighborhood you always hear stuff," he said. A couple of minutes later, the cop cars, the rescue squad, and the fire trucks came racing in. Then everyone else just flocked here to see what was going on. The incident occurred several blocks away, but Shelton said he has had issues with the residents or the visitors to the apartments in the past. "It's like an ongoing problem over there," he said. "I've called the property management company to complain, but nothing is ever done about it." Other neighbors acknowledged problems in the area. "You always suspect some drug activity and stuff over here," said Yaquan Ham, who said that he lived in one of the neighboring apartments. "But now people are getting shot, and it's ridiculous. We've had way too many shootings in this town." Mendiola declined to comment on whether or not the incident could be connected to other recent incidents. "We are in the very early stages of this investigation," he said. Police were called to the same building May 7th when a car's rear window was shot out about 8:35 p.m. in the parking lot behind it. No injuries were reported, but a 16-year-old was apprehended shortly after the incident with a stolen handgun. The latest Riley incident was the eighth confirmed shooting in Bloomington Normal so far this year, and eight people have been listed as homicide victims so far this year in the Twin Cities. Two people were shot to death June the 10th in the 1200 block of Orchard Road. Tanisha A. Brown, 20, and Stephen C. Alexander, Jr., 18, both of Bloomington, were pronounced dead at 1:17 a.m. at the scene outside an apartment building where they reportedly were attending a party, authorities said. Two other adult victims in that shooting were transported to local hospitals for treatment of gunshot wounds, but their identities and conditions have not been released. On April 25th, Joseph Gardner, 20, and Reginald Hart, Jr., 19, both of Bloomington, were shot to death in a hallway at Lancaster Heights Apartments at 1444 East College Avenue in Normal. Christopher Harrison, 17, remains in McLean County Jail in lieu of posting $250,035 on six counts of first-degree murder and other weapons and drug charges. He is scheduled in court on June the 26th. In Bloomington's other 2018 homicide, Nicole Albert, 30, was stabbed to death after an apparent domestic dispute February the 5th at an apartment at 610 North McLean Street. Monroe Albert, 50, is charged with the murder, but last month a judge ruled him unfit to stand trial. An August 8th hearing is scheduled for a review of the status of the case. On June 4th, police reported two 19-year-old men were injured about 1:14 a.m. when the car they were in was shot at near the intersection of Monroe and McLean Streets. Police say one man was injured by gunfire and was transported to a local hospital. A man in the same car also was wounded, but details on how he was injured were not released. No arrests have been made in that case. Police were called to the 2100 and 2200 blocks of Rainbow Avenue at 9:31 p.m. April the 4th for a report of gunfire, and later found a man had been shot in the leg. A handgun and multiple shell casings were found at the scene. No arrests have been made. On February 20th, police were called about 3:09 a.m. to the 900 block of West Olive Street and discovered several rounds had been fired into a residence. There were no injuries and no arrests. On February 3rd, a 25-year-old woman reported she, an adult man, and a child were in a parking lot in the 2100 block of North Veterans Parkway when a man approached the vehicle, displayed a handgun, and then shot at the vehicle. The three were not injured. As a result of that incident, Shomari J. Jivihan, 21, was arrested and later formally charged with two counts of aggravated discharge of a firearm into an occupied vehicle and possessing a firearm without a proper firearm owner's identification card. He remains in McLean County Jail in lieu of posting $10,035. He is due in court on June 28th. Anyone with information on the Riley homicides is asked to contact Bloomington Police Detective Tim Power at 309-434-2579 or email tpower@cityblm.org. Detective Brad Melton at 309-434-2537 or bmelton@cityblm.org, and Detective Steve Moreland at 309-434-2359 or smoreland@cityblm.org. If you wish to remain anonymous, please call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. Gleason named as next city manager. Saying it cannot be business as usual for the city of Bloomington, newly named city manager Tim Gleason promised Monday to bring a fresh approach as an outsider, including in the areas of budgets and taxes. Mayor Terry Renner announced the choice of Gleason currently Decatur City Manager, at a news conference Monday at City Hall, but a formal City Council vote isn't expected until June 25th. Gleason said challenges in Bloomington are not dissimilar to those that he has faced in Decatur for the past 3 years, and that is part of what appealed to him about the Bloomington job. He will have to prep himself, however, about some of the economic challenges the Twin Cities are facing, he said. Bloomington and Normal are premier communities within the state, leaders in many different fronts and faced with some challenges, said Gleason. I have to understand where we've been in the past, some of the discussions that have occurred, but also respect the fact that this is a new day and we have new opportunities. Gleason, 53, is expected to start July 23rd, pending a formal council approval, at a salary expected to be around $185,000, which is about $9,000 more than he makes now. Renner said aldermen have indicated unanimous support for Gleason and took into account opinions expressed by stakeholders throughout the community. Gleason said that he plans to meet with elected officials to discuss their vision for the city and if there are any quick victories out there. Experience in making budget cuts is a skill that he brings to the table, he said, noting Decatur and Bloomington have been through similar financial difficulties. When we're looking at leaner times where some of the major revenues that we expect might be reduced at the state level and other challenges that are going on within the community, we have to look within first before we place any expectation of increased taxes or that burden on the shoulders of the residents. We need to take a good look internally, and it cannot be the philosophy of business as usual, he added. Aside from Gleason, the other finalists for the job were interim Bloomington City Manager Steve Rasmussen and Washington City Administrator Jim Collada. I realize the vote to approve his appointment is next Monday night, but I'm very excited. The process was long for me, said Gleason. I'm very excited about getting to know the department heads better. Gleason said that he does not micromanage and prefers a hands-off approach and equipping employees at all levels to be successful. I am very aware of what is going on in all of the departments because I have a genuine interest, and I also accept the fact that it's my ultimate responsibility, he said. He added that he has talked with Rasmussen, who will resume his duties as assistant city manager at an annual salary of $146,089. I think this will be a great team, and actually, I think in this selection process, I think the elected officials saw something in this pairing between Steve and I, said Gleason. Rasmussen agreed, saying that Tim and I had some great conversations and were both consummate professionals. Rasmussen was named interim city manager November the 8th, the day after David Hales left after 8 years on the job to take the same position in Joliet. Hales, who made $188,660 in Bloomington, has a 3-year contract with Joliet and an annual salary of $215,000. At a public forum earlier this month, Gleason stressed his advantages as an outsider, while Rasmussen said that his 7 months on the job made him familiar with the council's priorities and ongoing projects. Renner described Gleason as a street-level bureaucrat, noting Gleason's more than 20 years of service in law enforcement before pursuing a public administration career. Renner also said the 2013 tornado during Gleason's 2.5-year tenure as Washington City Administrator, he was Collada's predecessor, demonstrated that he could lead in a crisis. Gleason resigned from the Washington Post in March 2015 to become city manager for Decatur. Recently, the Decatur City Council approved a 2-year contract renewal for Gleason that included a 6% raise, increasing his salary to $176,507 annually. I was very satisfied in Decatur, But this was one of those opportunities. I just had to give it a shot, said Gleason, adding that he applied for the Bloomington position with the full knowledge and blessing of Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Gleason, bio, age 53, education, bachelor's degree in management and master's degree in public administration, both of the University of Illinois Springfield. Experience, Decatur City Manager since March 2015, Washington City Administrator for 2.5 years, Manager for the State from January 2010 to November 2012, mostly as Chief Executive Officer, Illinois Correctional Industries, Deputy Director of Human Resources and Management Operations, Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, more than 20 years as an Army MP and Pekin Police Officer, retiring in 2010. BN officials optimistic about choice. Twin City officials said Monday, they're cautiously optimistic about Bloomington's next top administrator. I don't know him well yet, but he gets good reviews from his peers in the Illinois City and County Management Association, so he's well thought of, said Normal Mayor Chris Kuz of Tim Gleason, expected to be hired next week as Bloomington City Manager. I look forward to learning more. Gleason, 53, has been Decatur's city manager since March of 2015, but is slated to start working for Bloomington on July 23rd. The Bloomington City Council is expected to officially hire him June 25th. I think he has a fresh perspective, said Bloomington Ward 5 Alderman Joni Painter, one of five aldermen to attend a City Hall news conference announcing Gleason's selection. I think he has the experience that is necessary to take this job. We're all looking forward to working with Mr. Gleason. Gleason met with local officials, including Kuz, immediately following the news conference, though Kuz said the event was more a social occasion than a policy discussion. Kuz said he expects the city's partnerships with Normal, sometimes a source of tension, should stay intact and could even grow. I don't see anything changing. Once Tim gets on the job, he may see things differently, said Kuz of City-Town Partnerships. He seems like a very level-headed, reasonable guy. I don't see anything big changing. Other finalists for the job were Interim City Manager Steve Rasmussen, who is expected to resume his post as Assistant City Manager, and Washington City Administrator Jim Collada. Kuz said that he has enjoyed working with Rasmussen and is glad that he'll be part of Gleason's administration. Mike O'Grady, interim president of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, said he's optimistic about Gleason given his comments at a public forum in Bloomington this month. I did hear in his comments he's passionate about economic development, so we look forward to finding opportunities to work with him and the city, said O'Grady. We've heard good things about him from Decatur. Decatur City Council member Dana Ray told the Herald and Review on Monday that Gleason is a good city manager in that he was able to fulfill the goals that the city council set before him and did a good job of training his staff as far as being able to complete some assignments without his micromanaging. I'm happy for him, but I hate to see him go, said Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf of Gleason. He has done a great job for us, he really has. He had just great leadership for our community, and I totally understand this is a professional as well as a personal decision for him. I wish him well. Daily Digest, Timber Point to dedicate fire circle. Timber Point Outdoor Center at Lake Bloomington, owned and operated by Easter Seals Central Illinois, will dedicate the Malay Point Fire Circle at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday. The dedication is open to the public. The Fire Circle, named for former Timber Point Charitable Foundation President Jim Malay, is a campfire and assembly area that is accessible to people with disabilities. Timber Point provides various camps and programs, including specialized camps for for people with disabilities and illnesses. The foundation provided more than $25,000 for the project, and Fast Signs donated a plaque that will be unveiled at the dedication, said Foundation Board Member David Bateman. Road closures. The northbound lane of Morris Avenue between Washington and Jefferson Streets in Bloomington is immediately closed to through traffic while crews make street repairs in the area. Emerson Street between Towanda Avenue and Mary Ellen Way also is closed to motorists for street repairs. Drivers should use an alternative route. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, June 19th, the 170th day of 2018. There are 195 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On June 19th in 1953, Julius Rosenberg, 35, and his wife Ethel, 37, convicted of conspiring to pass U.S. atomic secrets to the Soviet Union, were executed at Sing Sing Prison in Ossining, New York. On this date, in 1775, George Washington was commissioned by the Continental Congress as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. Thought for today. To seek fulfillment is to invite frustration. By Jiddu Krishnamurti, Indian author and philosopher, 1895 to 1986. Flick's Fact today. Question. The temperatures have reached into the mid-90s over the past few days, uncommonly warm for what is still spring. Can you name the most appropriately named towns in central Illinois for such heat? Answer. We would suggest Cooksville in McLean County, because if you were outside in the heat, you indeed cooked. If you were indoors in one of those places where the air conditioning is especially good during heat waves and went outside to unfreeze, then we would suggest Thawville in Iroquois County. City Council delays vote on TIF policy. The City Council delayed voting on a new tax increment financing policy so attorneys for the City, Bloomington District 87, and McLean County Unit 5 can come up with language to overcome the sole remaining point of dispute. The Council voted unanimously Monday to delay its vote until June 25. The school district wants the City to guarantee to taxing bodies that there will be no more 23-year TIFs. The City wants the option to review each TIF district proposal, redevelopment project, and redevelopment agreement on a case-by-case basis, said City Attorney Jeff Jurgens. That said, we do believe that this does mark a new day with the City's use of TIF, said Jurgens. We believe this policy is sending a message that it is going to be the economic tool of last resort in the City of Bloomington. We recognize that it may have economic impacts on the other taxing bodies, and we want to limit that to the extent possible. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley told the council he doesn't disagree with that, but I think what will be critical for you as a council is to scrutinize TIFs very closely. In a TIF district, property tax revenue generated by improvements go into a fund for development incentives and infrastructure improvements. The taxing bodies receive only the taxes that they would have had from the property if no improvements were made. Riley said a previous 23-year TIF district generated a revenue surplus. The 54-block downtown TIF district spawned 49 redevelopment agreements from 1986 to 2009. That surplus did not go back to the taxing bodies. That is something we certainly don't want to see, said Riley. What you view as guaranteeing, we see as limiting the impact on the school district, he said. In the end, I think we all want the same thing, he added. We want economic development and growth that helps this community thrive and all of us benefit from in the end. The proposed creation of the East Washington Street TIF district, which would include the former Bloomington High School, just east of downtown, was put on hold so a TIF policy could be drafted to address District 87's concerns. The council will need to pass three ordinances June 25th to create the new TIF district. Under state law, that action must be taken within 90 days of the public hearing, which the city held April 9th. If the TIF is not created by July the 6th, the city will have to start the lengthy process over from scratch, including having to pay for another state-required feasibility study. The city already paid $34,400 a year ago for such a study, so its TIF redevelopment agreement with Iceberg Development Group, LLC of LeClaire, Iowa, could move forward. Iceberg plans to convert the second and third floors of the former high school at 510 East Washington Street into 58 apartments for people 55 and older and lease spaces to commercial and nonprofit users on the first floor. The developer has already secured low-income housing tax credits from the Illinois Housing Development Authority, and the site has been placed on the National Register of Historic Places, which clears the way for obtaining federal historical tax credits. Town sets meeting on recycling mandate. Residents will get their first chance to ask questions about Normal's proposed recycling mandate Thursday. Town officials will have an informational meeting at 5:30 p.m. on the fourth floor of Uptown Station to address concerns about a multifamily recycling ordinance to be considered by the Normal City Council in July. The town has intensified its efforts to require landlords to offer recycling, a longtime priority of Illinois State University students, after shuttering its drop-off recycling program this spring. Midwest Fiber later picked up the program on a reduced basis. Now that the program is at only four sites, it does make it even more difficult for people who don't live in single-family residences to have access, said City Manager Pam Reese after Monday's council meeting. We want to make sure the ordinance is something that can be administered, that makes sense, and that is a way to get services available to folks who don't live in single-family residences. Reese declined to discuss details of the proposal, but said it could take effect in August 2019 and is the result of repeated meetings with a group that included apartment and mobile home representatives, ISU students, ISU staff, property management, Midwest Fiber, and the Ecology Action Center. In other business, the council approved hiring Cardno Incorporated of Moni for as much as $100,000, with the amount to be negotiated to help develop a plan to maintain the town's riparian areas where the land meets water and aquatic ecosystems, including 2.36 miles of stream right-of-way and four detention basins. Public Works Director Wayne Aldrich said that he hopes the town's new plan will also help Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District and ISU, which also manage riparian areas in the Twin Cities. Council member Jeff Fritzen noted that he got a message hours before the meeting with complaints about creek maintenance, citing allergy, wildlife, and visibility problems as concerns with overgrown plants. The council approved hiring Construction of Goodfield for $300,041.690 to help clean, televise, and rate sanitary and storm sewers. Sewer bills will nearly double for town residents over a five-year period to pay for a backlog of maintenance work. The council appointed Todd Bug to the town's Historic Preservation Commission, Julie Heil to the Connect Transit Board, and reappointing Ben Harmon to the Children's Discovery Museum Foundation Board. This is the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned.